I titled our message this morning, Characteristics of Christian Giving. So if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to the last section in Philippians. We're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through the end of the chapter 23, verses 14 through 23. Why don't we open up in prayer first? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You've given us life, You've given us freedom, You've given us health and the ability to come and study Your Word. We thank You, Father, most of all, that You've given us the greatest gift ever, and that is Your Son, that You sent Him to earth to die for us, to forgive us of our wickedness, our selfishness, our sin, and in Your great love, give us eternal life with You. We thank You, Father, that You're consistent when we're inconsistent. We thank You, Father, that You've given us this forgiveness, that as we live the Christian life, we battle still the flesh, we battle the world, we battle our own selfishness, yet we have Your Word and the Holy Spirit to grow in You. So help us do that the next few minutes as we look at Your Word, as we look at what it means and some characteristics of what it means to be a giver, a truly Christian giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you won't hear messages, and I don't think you've ever heard messages at Believer's Chapel that are titled giving, or messages that just say, we're going to have a message today on giving and tithing, and most churches give those kinds of messages. But in our church, you won't hear arm-twisting messages or messages on how much you need to give and passing out of pledge cards. And the reason is simply is that we believe that the Bible teaches that a true Christian will give. A true Christian that's walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, will give out of the abundance that God has given them. And the reality is we don't see any example in Scripture. There is no example anywhere in Scripture where Christians appeal for money for themselves. And yet that's what most of Christianity is today. It's almost like the American Heart Association. It's a great appeal for money. It's fundraisers. It's on and on and on. We do find Paul appealing for other groups of Christians to help other Christians, but we never find him asking for himself. So let's see what Paul writes here, starting in verse 14 of chapter 4. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me, not one, in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. That's amazing. All the churches he taught to, this was the only church he had given to him. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance, and I'm amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, and my God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, to our God and Father, the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So I've outlined our passage this way. Verses 14 through 16 is that givers, true Christian givers, give abundantly for the spreading of the gospel. When any time you see Christians that are walking with the Lord, their heart and their desire is to give at one place, and that is the spreading of the gospel, the true teaching of the gospel. So that's number one. Givers give abundantly and graciously and generously for the spreading of the gospel, verses 14 through 16. Next, verses 17 and 18, givers, true Christian givers, give to those who don't seek gifts for themselves. They give to those who don't seek gifts for themselves. And the reality is that is a purity that really filters out what's being done. Because if you're a true believer, you're typically not asking for money for yourself and promoting yourself. You're actually giving the gospel and teaching the gospel and sending out the gospel. And you're not seeking for yourself, you're seeking to help others. Then in verses 19 and 20, givers have all their needs supplied. It's a great principle in Scripture. If you give, then God will give to you. And lastly, verses 21 through 23, givers care about others. So, number one, givers give abundantly to those who are spreading the gospel. Number two, givers give to those who don't seek gifts for themselves. Givers have all their needs supplied, verses 19 through 20. And finally, givers care about others. So let's jump in here in verse 14, where givers give abundantly for the spreading of the gospel. Paul writes the first word, nevertheless. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. Paul has been recently talking about his situation. And what we've learned and what we did learn or in our past lessons is that Paul had complete reliance on Christ and he found all his joy in Christ. He was dependent, completely dependent on Christ. But he's using this word and he's saying, but nevertheless, even though I'm completely dependent on Christ and I know that Christ will supply all my needs, it doesn't take away from the blessing that I've received from you Philippians for the great generosity that you've given me these gifts. They sent gifts to Paul without him asking for it. And Paul's joy and complete dependence on Christ still wouldn't take away from his thankfulness for their great sacrifice for him. So the mindset of Paul was, is that God's going to supply everything I need. But then all of a sudden when somebody does give him something, he's extremely thankful for that. This was a young church. They didn't have a lot of money. But they gave out of their limited resources. Paul had come to them in years past, several years earlier, for one reason. Paul had come not to get anything for himself, but he'd come to share the gospel, to give the gospel without any expectation of what he would get from it. And their response is what our response should be. After we understand the gospel and receive the gospel and it changes our life, we want to give it. We want to give it back. We want to give something back to others. And so after mentioning their latest gift, Paul now brings up how they had been giving to him since the very beginning. Their abundant giving was no new things. Look at verse 15. He said, not only have you just given me this gift, but verse 15, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, from the first time I preached the gospel to you and gave you the good news of what Christ's work had accomplished on the cross and his offering for you, I left Macedonia. There was no church. There was no other church. A church? What's the church? The living church. It's the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. There's no church that shared with me, Paul. Shared means literally to share your possessions with the effect of a joint participation of mutual interest. There was no church, he's saying, that shared with me like you did. The word shared in the Greek really means like a marriage contract between a husband and a wife of joint participation, of mutual interest, of necessities of life. You shared with me. You gave me housing. You took me in. You participated in everything I was doing. You fed me. You took care of my wounds. You encouraged me. You gave your money. The point is he's saying, not only did you just give me money, but you gave everything. You joined in with what I was doing. And that's what we should be doing as Christians. If we're truly Christians, then it should be moving us to be participating in the spreading of the gospel in all the ways we can, in every way, not just writing a check, but doing whatever you can. Paul was saying, really, you were co-workers. You were co-workers. You wanted to take the whole Word to the whole world. You donated abundantly. You gave generously for spreading of the gospel, and that's what true Christian givers do. That's what we want to do as believers. And he continues to write, in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone, verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent a gift more than once for my needs. They had been continually giving. You see, once God changed their life, and once God changes your life, you should be a giver. You should be someone that wants to give everything you have, as much as you can do, to spread the gospel. We have the same opportunity to give today as these Philippians did. Maybe even more. You too can give and donate generously. You can give abundantly of your time. You can give generously of your money. You can give generously and spend time in prayer. You can donate all these things to many endeavors to help spread the gospel across the world. And so the question is, if you're truly a Christian and God has changed your life like He did these Philippians, are you giving? Are you giving? Are you sharing in the eternal endeavor? You don't want to miss opportunities, no matter what you're doing. And everybody's different. We all have different interests. We all give in different ways. And I want to encourage you that if you really want to give back and you understand what Christ has done for you, then in your own way, how can you give to spread the gospel? What are you doing to give to spread the gospel? Dr. D. James Kennedy told of a peasant woman in West Africa who had been wonderfully saved over 50 years earlier. She'd always wanted to give something back, but she didn't have anything. People were bringing gifts to a crusade, and they were bringing what Kennedy said was buckets of corn. But this woman was so poor, she had nothing to offer. But later in the week, she was seen going forward and she placed a silver coin in the offering. And even though it was only worth a dollar, it was a huge sum of money back then and in that day. Well, people thought maybe she'd gotten it dishonestly and they'd wondered if they should even take it or not, but they decided not to say anything until afterwards. And then someone went up to the woman and they mentioned they'd seen her giving this silver coin, which she was so poor they didn't understand where she'd gotten it. And she said, well, because the Lord had freed me from the bondage of my sin and had given me eternal life, this is what she said, I wanted to serve Him. I have been wondering how I can give more because what He has given to me, I want to help spread the gospel and give. And so she tells the story how she had gone to a nearby plantation and sold herself as a slave for life for $1 so that she could give something back to God. That's incredible, isn't it? She sold herself for a dollar so that she could give all of that to the spreading of the gospel. It's unfathomable to have that kind of desire to want to give and that much generosity in your heart. Think about your life for a moment. What are you doing? What are you giving to spread the gospel of Christ? What motivates you? What motivated this poor woman was the fact that her sins had been forgiven. What motivated her and was driving her life is she realized that she was a hell-deserving sinner, yet in God's grace, He had given so much. So that's what motivated the Philippians, and that's what motivated Paul, and that's what should motivate us to give abundantly for the spreading of the gospel. All of our ways may be different in the way you give and how you serve. But I want to challenge all of you to make a commitment to give in some form or fashion and to give abundantly for the spreading of the gospel. Well, next we see that if you're a true Christian giver, you will give to those who are not seeking gifts for themselves. Look what Paul writes. Verse 17, not that I seek the gift itself. Not that I seek the gift itself. Paul didn't seek or search out or demand anything for himself. Now, this is just contrary to human nature. If we need something, we ask. But Paul is so reliant on Christ, he's not seeking it for himself. He's fighting an assertion out there against him that Paul is out there teaching the gospel to benefit himself financially. He wants the opposite of that. Paul's so dependent on God, he would never seek any gift from anyone. He was willing to live with a little or a lot, whatever God decided to give him. Paul is saying, my focus is giving and spreading the gospel rather than getting money. Someone said, give to those who are emphasizing ministry more than money. Give to those who are emphasizing the gospel more than money. That was Paul. Paul was looking completely to God to supply anything he needed personally, and his aim was to help others. He says, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Not that I seek the gift myself. I'm not seeking it myself, but he's writing back to them, and look what he says. I seek for the profit which increases to your account. I want you to benefit. If you give, I want you to profit. Isn't that amazing? That's what he says. This word profit means fruit. Heavenly fruit. Heavenly dividends. If you give, listen, if you give, you will reap spiritual heavenly dividends and fruit in heaven. You're laying up treasures in heaven. And Paul wants these Philippians to understand that as they have given so generously, they are going to reap huge benefits. Listen, if you will give generously, with your money, with your time, with your talents, for the spreading of the gospel, you too will reap great benefits. You will store up treasures in heaven. That's what Paul is telling them. Look, he's saying, I seek for the profit which increases to your account in heaven. You are storing up treasures in heaven. F.B. Meyer says this, there is a constant law in God's world. And it is, if you will give, you will what? You will receive. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. For by your standard of measure in giving, it will be measured to you in return. Now your mindset is, I'm not going to give because I want to get something back. Your mindset is, I want to give without anything in return. And if you have that mindset, God will give in return. If you lend your boat for a whole afternoon for Christ, for a floating pulpit, He will return it overflowing with fish. If you place your upper room at His disposal for a single meal, He will fill it and the whole house will have the Holy Spirit. Place in His hand your barley loaves and fish, and He will not only satisfy your hunger, but He will leave you 12 baskets full afterwards. The Philippians sent 3 or 4 presents to a suffering Paul, and from that moment, they needed to understand that every need of theirs would be supplied. Such small acts on our part are rewarded with enormous returns. We scratch the surface of soil, and we throw out a few seeds. And within a few months, the whole acreage is covered with an abundant harvest, 100-fold. For every grain which we seem to give away, it multiplies more than we can imagine. You see, that's what our giving does. Giving multiplies. And when we give to those who are truly spreading the gospel, not ourselves, God keeps the record. And He credits that to your account. And most of the time, the credit is much more than you can ever imagine. Paul continues to write in verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I'm amply supplied. Paul is saying, look, I'm full. I'm filled to the brim. I got all I can handle. I've been full and I'm staying full. That's the point. That's the tense of the verb.
And he says, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, and a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Commentator put it this way, the Philippian stewardship, listen, the fact that they were willing to give and think about Paul and help Paul and to encourage him and to give in such a way is a barometer of their spiritual condition. Listen, if you're not giving and I'm not giving, that tells you where we are spiritually. The closer you walk with God, the more time you spend in prayer, the more you're in the Word, the more you'll give. And so that's what we see about these Philippians. We realize their spiritual condition was pure because they were giving so much. You see, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. Love takes the stew out of stewardship, someone said. And if you take the stew out of stewardship, it's hardship. The love gift pleased God. It relieved Paul and it enriched the Philippians. You see what giving does? Great benefits to the giver. It pleases God and it gives Paul great encouragement. Paul says, yes, you gave to me. But when you give like this, you are really giving not to me, but to God. Look what he says. He says, it is well pleasing to God. When you give, you may think you're helping that person, and you are, but the reality is you are pleasing God. You're giving back to God. You're giving back what God is giving to you. Augustine said this, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. And where your treasure is, there is your heart. And where your heart is, there is your happiness. Let me say that again. Where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. And where your treasure is where your heart is. And where your heart is where your happiness is. Ever heard of Kraft Cheese Corporation? J.L. Kraft, head of Kraft Cheese Corporation, years ago had given approximately 25% of his enormous income to Christian causes over many years. 25% of all of his income he gave to Christian causes. And this is what he said. The only investment I ever made which has paid consistently increasing dividends is the money that I gave to the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Many in our day claim to be serving the Lord. Many churches claim to be serving the Lord. But you can tell by the message. You can tell by the message if it's really the Lord or themselves. Several weeks ago, television preacher Creflo Dollar in Atlanta sent out an appeal for $65 million to buy a Gulfstream jet. And the reason was is he needed it so he could feed the poor. We got a lot of criticism. Got a lot of criticism and it made national news. And so he backed down from it, but I just read earlier today that his board agreed to buy the jet. This is evil. This isn't Christianity. This is not biblical Christianity. This is simply an appeal for someone to get money for themselves and hide it in Christianity. Look at their lifestyle. Look at what they're asking for. A lavish lifestyle. People living in the lap of luxury and claiming it all for Christ. This is not Paul's Christianity. This is not biblical Christianity. Don't send your money or give your time or energy to people who promote themselves, even if they say it's Christian. Paul didn't make strong appeals for gifts for himself. It was for others. And his appeal was to faithful servants of God who were pure in their motives in the spreading of the true gospel of Christ. And those are the kind of people we want to give to. We've got to be discerning. And when you give, it may not just be your money. It may be prayer and a word of encouragement. But know this, that when you give in that way, in the way that you see the Philippians, in the way Paul did, then God will increase your account. You will be building up and accruing fruit in your account in heaven. And you'll be blessed.
Well, next, givers have all their needs supplied. Look at verse 19. And Paul writes, "And my God, and my God, and my God." When someone makes a promise, it depends on who they are and if they can keep the promise, right? Their promise is only good as, it's only backed by who they are. It's only as good as who the person is. Paul is saying God. God is making this promise. God is making this promise that he says, "And he will supply your needs according to his riches in the glory in Christ Jesus." God is faithful to his promise. If he says something, he'll do it. He'll never let you down. It's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Paul wanted to do more for the Philippians and all the generosity that they'd done for him, but he couldn't. But he knew someone who could give them more. And that was God. And Paul is saying, "You may have met my need, but God is going to meet your need because of your generosity. You met one need that I have, but God will meet all of your needs. He will supply all of your needs. You gave out of your poverty, but God will supply your needs out of his riches and glory." And that's what happens when we give. If you're a giver, God will supply. Not some of your needs, not many of your needs, but he will supply all of your needs. It's amazing. Dwight Pentecost put it this way: "My God shall supply all your need presupposes obedience." Presupposes obedience. To claim the fulfillment of the promise without being obedient is presumptuous. You've got to be obedient. The Philippians were obedient. They were obedient to the gospel. They were obedient to the demands of love to Paul. They were obedient in their obligation to God's servant Paul. And because of their obedience, the apostle can categorically say to them, "I realize that in your poverty, you don't have much, but you gave. And you have been reduced to probably dire wants. You don't have anything. But my God now will supply all your needs, because you gave out of obedience." It's foolish for us to think that we can squander what God has given us on ourselves and then expect him to step in and meet our needs. Right? George Mueller believed this and he lived it. George Mueller trusted God to supply all he needed, not only for himself but his ministry and all of his orphanages. He actually decided to make his life an experiment to prove that God would supply all his needs by him living an obedient, prayerful, trusting, and faithful life without appealing to anyone. And he watched God do an incredible work by supplying all the needs to his entire ministry, his whole life. You see, Mueller wanted his experience to be an example in strengthening the faith of others by showing the reality of the things that God would do and how he truly provides and supplies if we'll just trust him. And that's the way he lived. And listen, Mueller calculated that over 50,000 cases of distinct prayer, direct prayer, were answered. Over 50,000. By the end of his 63-year-old ministry, he had been given almost 1.5 million pounds, which at the time, someone's calculated is $3 million today. Maybe more. God judges what we give by what we keep. How about that? God provided food for George Mueller, for all the orphanages. He provided clothing and housing and education for over 10,000 children, as well as paying for the staff, and he never once appealed for money. God will supply all your needs. God honored Mueller's faith and richly provided for him. As all that money passed through his hands and on his death, he left a measly 160 pounds or $250. God wants to show himself strong, and he will for those who are obedient and who trust in him. He is real, and he does supply, and there is no greater proof
of that than a life lived by faith and trusting God at His Word.
Today's Father's Day, and there's no greater joy than being a father. Children are constantly in need. I got five of them. Some are married. Some are still in high school. But they still have needs. Maybe not monetarily, but they still have needs. It's part of being a dad, and it gives you great joy to help and supply the needs. But no matter how hard I try, I can't supply every need. I don't have the answer to every solution. As much as I'd like to help them in everything, and I try, I can't do it. But I know who can. I know that God supplies all our needs. And I know when our requests are genuine needs and when He must redirect our thinking to trust Him. Consider how God supplies all your needs. Listen. When we think we're too tired, Jesus says, I will give you rest. When we think no one cares, Jesus says, He loves us. When we can't figure things out, God says, He will guide us. When we need forgiveness, God says, He will forgive us and confess when we confess our sins. God will supply all of our needs. He is our Heavenly Father who wants us to come to Him with our requests. He wants us to listen to Him and just let Him speak through His Word. And He has an answer for everything in our life. There was an old pastor, Harold Springstead, who was driving along on his way to preach a little country church, and he felt a sudden vibration and his tire had gone flat. And so the 78-year-old pastor pulled off to stop his car, and a trucker pulled behind him. And the young man jumped out and he assessed the situation. He cheerfully changed the tire, and Pastor Springstead got to the service in plenty of time. And it wasn't until later that he realized his car didn't have a jack in it. He couldn't have changed it if he wanted to. It was a minor problem. He was a retired, faithful servant of God, though, and it was a tiny congregation. And we might think that God would be too busy, you see, with the bigger issues of life, with larger, more important needs than to be concerned by a flat tire. But He isn't, because His promise is to provide for all of our needs, and it covers every little need and every big need. And so He sent the trucker by just in time to help the tire be changed. You see, the same God who helped Elisha retrieve the borrowed axe head, who supplied food for a faithful widow, who provided wine at a small wedding, meets our needs as well. Think back on your life. Has the Lord taken care of your small needs, your minor needs of your life? He has, as well as the big ones. Has He solved some nagging problems? You see, if God sees the sparrows fall, and He paints the lilies short and tall, and He gives the skies their beautiful color, will He not then care for me and you? Nothing is too great for God to supply all our needs for those who are willing to give to Him and to trust Him. Can you trust Him for your needs? Are you willing to give to Him? That's what He wants. And lastly, givers care about others. Givers care about others. Paul wrote in Philippians 4:21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. Greet means to be interested in. The word means to be concerned about. It means to regard those people as more important than yourself. Greet the saints. The saints are those who are set apart by Christ Jesus. The saints are the saved ones. Those are the believers. Greet the believers. Be concerned about the believers. Care about the believers. That's what they're doing. And he says in verse 22, all the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. So Paul is sending the Christian care and love that he's having in Rome back from those Christians, back to the Christians in Philippi, and they don't even know each other. But they love them and they care of them. They care about each other because there is the relationship in Christ. And that's the point. You may not have to know the Christian, but you can care and love and give because of your bond in Christ.
Then he goes on and says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ will be with your spirit. Paul begins Philippians chapter 1, verse 2, with grace. And he ends it with grace. Because it's all of grace. You see, the greatest givers are the ones that understand what they've been given. And by God's grace, you have been given salvation. And that should motivate you to say, it's all of God. I want to give everything to Him. It's all by grace. The greatest giver that ever lived was Jesus Christ. The greatest giver that ever walked this earth was Christ. He left the riches of heaven to come to earth and to give Himself so that we could keep our lives. He is our model. He is our example. He gave to us so that we could have eternal life. There can be no other better way to imitate Christ than to give. To give selflessly like He did. It is truly more blessed to give than receive. So our greatest motivation, your greatest motivation to give, should come from knowing that it pleases the Lord and it reflects who He is. That's why we give. We can never outgive Him. The more we serve, the more we give, and the more we will get in return. Remember this, for God so loved the world that He what? He gave. He gave. God wants us to give. When we trust God and honor Him by generously giving, you see, number one, we give abundantly for the spreading of the gospel. If you're a true Christian giver, then you want to give to the spreading of the gospel. Your money, your time, your talents. If you want to honor God, you really want to give to those who don't seek gifts for themselves. Who are seeking to spread the gospel for Christ and not motivate themselves. Number three, if you give, you need to understand, and you walk in obedience, that God will supply all of your needs. Not some of them, but all of them. And lastly, if you're a true giver and you understand the grace of God, you'll care about others. And if we do that, and if we live like that, we will be lights that shine forth in a dark world and reflect an incredible difference. And reflect to everybody you come in contact with, reflect what God has given to you. That's the Christian life, isn't it? It's to give. It's to trust God. This whole book of Philippians is joy. It's the opposite of what the world says. Go after everything yourself and you'll get joy, but that's the opposite. You'll be miserable. Deny yourself. Give. Trust God. Be obedient. Follow Him. Paul is filled with joy because of that. When you give of yourself, when you deny yourself, when you love Christ, it's the opposite of your natural inclination, then you will have great joy in your life. And that's what God wants us to do. That's where it comes from. Great blessing. Just think about it. Christ came and He gave. What more can you do with your life than to give? You cannot outgive God. Think about it. What can you do today, tomorrow, this week? How can you give more than what you've been given? Well, first of all, get right with the Lord. You can't give if you're internally focused. You got to be externally focused. Love Him, walk with Him, deny yourself, and you will find great joy. Abundantly greater than you can ever think or imagine. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Philippians. We thank You for the truth. Father, we look at our old wicked hearts and we realize that we are selfish. We battle selfishness. But Father, through Your grace, through Your mercy, through the Holy Spirit and Your walking with You, we can be pleasing to You by giving more of ourselves. Help each one of us, Father, to search our hearts, to try to figure out where we can do better in giving, being more consistent, to give more, to share more, even if it's of our time. However we can do that, Father, we want to do that. We want to be men and women that are light in your world. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.